AM radio in Montreal.
I met her at an art show. She looked like Hallie. Walked to a love show. I pissed in the alley and she didn't seem to mind.
For CJLO News, I'm Serena Aboul-Joud. On Friday, September 6, 26-year-old Turkish-American activist Ayşenur Ezgi Ege was shot and killed by an Israeli soldier during a protest against illegal Israeli settlements near the city of Nablus. Nablus governor Hassan Dahlas told Al Jazeera that an autopsy confirmed Ege was killed by a sniper bullet to the head. She died at a Nablus hospital due to her wounds. Dahlas also said that an official ceremony will be held in Nablus to commemorate Ege after her body is given to her family. Israeli forces said that its soldiers had discharged their firearms at a protester who was throwing rocks at them, and that they are currently probing into the killing of a foreign national. However, Ege's family called on the U.S. to conduct an independent investigation into her murder, saying that an Israeli inquiry is not enough. On Saturday, Israeli raids killed at least 61 Palestinians in Gaza. Three women and two children were killed in the east of the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza due to Israeli shelling. Another Israeli airstrike targeted a school-turned-shelter for displaced Palestinians and killed at least three people in northern Gaza. The Israeli military said that the strike targeted Hamas members who were operating inside the school. In the last few months, Israel struck several schools in which displaced Palestinians were sheltering and claimed that their targets were Hamas fighters who had been hiding inside. According to the health ministry in Gaza, almost 41,000 Palestinians have been killed by Israel since October 7th, most of whom are women and children. On Sunday, 18 people in central Syria were killed by Israeli missiles and nearly 40 were injured. A military source told the Syrian Arab news agency that the attack came from northwestern Lebanese airspace and targeted several military sites. The source also stated that the Syrian air defense system intercepted some of the missiles. Two regional intelligence sources said that one of the sites that were struck was a military research center for chemical arms production located near the city of Masyaf. The Minister of Electricity, Mohammed Al-Zamel, said that the strike caused serious damage to water and electricity infrastructure and that most of the victims and wounded were civilians. Local news outlets also reported damage around the coastal city of Tartus. The Israeli military did not comment on its attacks at time of recording. For more, follow CJLO News on Spotify.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are back here on the Tommy John Show on CJLO 1690 AM. Hope everyone's having a great Monday. One of the last few hot ones and humid ones we'll probably get this year. And yeah, welcome to the Tommy John Show. If you're new to listening to the program, for the next hour, we will discuss everything going on in the world of sports. And we had a busy weekend. We had week two of the National Football League, obviously college football, F1 returned. We had huge fights in boxing, UFC over the weekend, and Major League Baseball. I mean, the push to the postseason is officially on. We only got a few weeks left in the regular season before we head to the postseason, and we got a whole bunch to tackle today on the program. So if you're new to the show, this is Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show, and this is actually our last show from 2 to 3 p.m. next week, and for the foreseeable future, we'll be on at 1 p.m., 1 to 2 p.m. on CJLO 69 a.m. So if you're looking forward to the Tommy John Show at 2, it's now starting at 1, starting next week. We get on a primetime slot. What can we say? So why don't we start off with a quick recap of the past week? And why don't we start off with the National Football League? Because week two had a lot of surprises and a lot of great games. We'll start on Thursday night when week two officially started with the Buffalo Bills heading down to Miami to take on the Dolphins. And it's one thing for the Dolphins to lose, it's a whole other animal to lose and lose your quarterback. And that's exactly what happened to the Miami Dolphins. They were getting their doors blown off by Josh Allen and the Bills. And it wasn't just Josh Allen. You had the run game show up with Cook. The defense looked elite. The offensive line just mauling the front seven of Miami. And then in the third quarter, might have been fourth quarter, Tua tries to pick up a fourth down, hits his head, concussion, his third now serious concussion since coming to the NFL. And a lot of people are calling on him to retire. He's had plenty of issues with injuries in college when he was at Alabama, and now in the NFL, nothing has really changed. Very talented when he plays. I'm happy he got his big contract. But, you know, you got to think about long-term health in situations like this. And he'll probably come back and play. But a lot of people are saying, you know what, Randy Moss and others are saying, like, what do you got to lose? Or even Shannon Sharp, I think, tweeted, he's like, oh, why? You're going to have no quality of life if you continue down this path. So a very scary moment in Miami on Thursday. But the Bills, 31-10. They are 2-0, leading the way in the AFC East. Yesterday, we had the rest of the slate. We had the San Francisco 49ers on the road at Minnesota and a surprising loss for the Niners. Brock Purdy was not his best at all yesterday, but another good game from Jordan Mason. He had 100 yards and a touchdown, doing well replacing Christian McCaffrey. But man, Minnesota, they lose J.J. McCarthy in the preseason. They have Sam Darnold. They are 2-0. Justin Jefferson did get banged up in the game. He had a 97-yard touchdown in the game. And not too long after, he gets banged up. I think he'll be okay, though. Nothing serious, we believe. The Seattle Seahawks improved to 2-0 with an overtime win over the New England Patriots, 23-20. And they sit atop the NFC West at 2-0. The Washington Commanders didn't score a touchdown. The New York Giants scored three, and it did not matter. The Commanders kicked seven field goals. Seven. To win 21-18. The Giants didn't really have a kicker. Didn't have a place kicker, so they had to go for two a lot. Were in field goal range and had to go for it. I mean, if under normal circumstances, you'd like to think the Giants win this game, but it was just, they didn't have a place kicker. Injured. So you got to take more risk, and it ended up biting them. 21-18, the Commanders win at home over the Giants. The Los Angeles Chargers, under new coach Jim Harbaugh, 2-0. They went out east and played the Carolina Panthers and thumped them 26-3. Not a good day for Bryce Young at all. He only threw for 84 yards and an interception, and we just had breaking news right as we came on the air. Bryce Young benched. See you later. Benching him. The number one pick last year in 2023. Getting the bench. Andy Dalton will start next week for the Carolina Panthers. And we will get into what's going on in Carolina later in the program. But that trade, good Lord. If this is it for Bryce Young, you don't think it will be. They'll probably try and get him back in there. But if this is it for Bryce Young and Carolina, what a disaster. What an absolute disaster. Only 84 yards passing. Crazy. Maybe the biggest statement made all weekend was by the New Orleans Saints. They thumped, absolutely thumped the Carolina Panthers last week. A lot of people thought, no, they're just playing Carolina. They went on the road to Dallas and dismantled the Cowboys 44-19. What a day for Alvin Kamara. He had three touchdowns rushing. I believe he also had another one receiving as well. He had a monster day, 115 yards on the ground. 65 yards receiving. A big day for Rashid Shaheed. Four catches, 96 yards, and a touchdown. Chris Olave played great. And they are rolling. 44-19. They are 2-0. And everyone was calling for Dennis Allen to maybe be fired if they have a down year this year. The Saints look good. They look really, really good. And if you look at that NFC South, which people thought wouldn't be that competitive, that's not true. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are definitely competitive. They improved to 2-0 after a surprising road win at Detroit, 20-16. Not the best game for Jared Goff. But the Lions, you know, they had chances in that ball game, At the end of the half, they had a 10-second runoff cost them from kicking a field goal. Could have had to go for a touchdown at the end. If they make that field goal, they could kick a field goal and win. I mean, that's the NFL. Game of inches, game of seconds. You know, the Lions had chances, but Tampa Bay and Baker Mayfield, a little resurgence run for him. They are 2-0 and are tied with the Saints atop of the NFC South. The Cleveland Browns, a bounce back win, 18-13 over the Jacksonville Jaguars. No Jordan Love, no problem for the Packers, 16-10 over the Indianapolis Colts. Aaron Rodgers gets his first win, or maybe if you count the game last year he got hurt, the first game he started and finished that he won as a New York Jet. Aaron Rodgers, he was 18-30, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Big game from Breece Hall. He had 62 yards rushing. Man, but it's more maybe about Will Levis and the Titans. He, again, a lot of boneheaded turnovers cost the Titans in big spots. They are 0-2. The Jets are 1-1 and play on Thursday night at home against the Patriots. The Los Angeles Rams, a depleted squad, and it looked like one on Sunday. They got rolled by Arizona, 41-10. Cooper Kupp getting hurt in the affair as well. So just, I mean, the Rams are turning into an infirmary. It's crazy. I mean, Blake Corum ran the ball decently. Kyron Williams didn't really do much. It was all about Arizona and Kyler Murray and Marvin Harrison Jr. He had 4 catches, 130 yards, 2 touchdowns. Big, big afternoon for him and the Cardinals. Man, Cincinnati so close to pulling off the upset at Kansas City. But a late pass interference call went the Chiefs' way. 26-25, Kansas City taking down the Bengals, who looked much better. I mean, there's a lot of positives to take for Cincinnati. They played them really tough, and you could argue they should have won the game. A lot of things went against them. The fumble six against Burrow. I mean, the whole bunch of things. You had Jamar Chase throwing a tantrum on the sideline. It just wasn't meant to be, but the Bengals looked much better yesterday than they did week one against New England. Maybe the biggest surprise yesterday, the biggest underdog of the week, the Las Vegas Raiders, went on the road and took down the Baltimore Ravens, 26-23. The Raiders are 1-1. The Ravens are 0-2. 0-2, which is crazy. Huge game for Devontae Adams. 9 catches, 110 yards, and a touchdown. And that AFC West. I mean, Denver's at 0-2, but the Raiders, if you beat Baltimore and you got Kansas City and the Chargers are 2-0, that's heating up into a decent division. The Pittsburgh Steelers just win how the Pittsburgh Steelers win. Not pretty, but it doesn't matter. Justin Fields only completed 13 passes for 117 yards, but that defense is so elite, it's outrageous. They are 2-0 atop of the AFC North. Not a good day for Bo Nix. 2 picks, no touchdowns, under 250 yards passing. Just wasn't efficient at all when I was watching that game. I mean, Josh Reynolds had a big play. But they couldn't really get the ball moving on the ground. Just not a good day to be Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos. They're 0-2. And if you look at their upcoming schedule, they got Tampa Bay. They got the Jets. Everyone thought the Raiders were a walkover. Not so much. Then you got the Chargers, the Saints, Baltimore, Kansas City. I mean, they got a brutal schedule coming up. And if they're playing like this, it could be a very long season for the Denver Broncos. The Chicago Bears went on the road to Houston and played them tough. Their defense is outstanding, but it wasn't enough. 19-13, the Houston Texans get the job done. 260 yards and a touchdown for CJ Stroud. Caleb Williams was getting hit. Like, I've never seen a quarterback get hit before in my life. You see the talents there. The talent's there, just the offensive line did not show up at all. He had to throw the ball up it desperately at some times. Just wasn't a pretty sight for their offense. But, you know, they have Rome Odunze, DJ Moore. They miss Keenan Allen, but they got to do something with that offensive line. You don't want Caleb Williams to get hit like that every game. Then the last game this week takes place tonight in Philadelphia as Kirk Cousins and the Falcons head to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles. A.J. Brown, star wide receiver for the Eagles, he is out tonight, believe with a hamstring injury. We go around to Major League Baseball. Just quickly, we'll give you a rundown of the standings. The Yankees lead the Orioles by 3 games in the American League East. The Guardians lead the Royals by 4 games in the Central. The American League West, it's the Astros 4.5 up on the Mariners. You head to the National League, the Phillies 9 games up on both the Mets and the Braves. They are battling for that last wild card spot. The Brewers just cruising 10 games up in the Central. They'll make the postseason. The Dodgers 3.5 games up on the Padres, 5 games up on the Diamondbacks. And if you look at the wild card picture right now, it's really heating up. Really, really heating up. You have the Mets and the Braves slugging it out with the same record for the last spot. The Diamondbacks and the Padres are pretty safely in right now. So it's going to come down to the Mets or the Braves for that final wild card spot. You head to the American League. Detroit 2.5 back. The Mariners 2.5 back. The Red Sox are a bit far back at 4.5. I mean, Minnesota is not playing their best baseball as of late. They did win over the weekend. But Baltimore, Kansas City look like to be shoe-ins, and now it's whether Detroit and Seattle can catch up to the Twins. Formula One returned this weekend, and Oscar Piastri has a win for McLaren. He gets 25 points, and along with Lando Norris, who got 13, McLaren has jumped to the top of the Constructors' Championship above Red Bull. Max Verstappen, though, still leads the way in the Drivers' Championship. Piastri 1, Leclerc from Ferrari 2, George Russell 3 was the podium. College football, we had a crazy week in store. We had the big game over the weekend between Boston College and Missouri. People wanted a big game, and they got a big game from Missouri. They held on to win at the end. Boston College had the control early, a costly interception in the second quarter, and Missouri holds on 27-21. They remain undefeated and number 7 in the country. South Carolina had LSU on the ropes for much of that game, but they let it slip away in the end. 36-33, LSU holds on to win that one. The Arch Manning era maybe has started in Texas, with Heisman favorite Quinn Ewers injured against UTSA over the weekend. Arch Manning came off the bench, and he did not disappoint at all. 9 of 12, 223 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, not to mention 53 yards on the ground and a touchdown. He had 5 total touchdowns, no turnovers. Texas smashes UTSA 56-7. And because of that, and Georgia struggling to beat Kentucky 13-12 over the weekend, the Texas Longhorns are now the number 1 team in the country. Georgia at 2. And you asked me before the year, I thought these were the 2 best teams in college football. I mean, Ohio State hasn't been tested yet as of late. I mean, they had Akron. They have all these, don't want to call them cupcake games, but they've had them. And I believe they're in that discussion, but we got to see it. I mean, their big game is going to be against Oregon in a few weeks. We go through the top 25. It's Texas number 1, Georgia number 2, Ohio State 3, Alabama 4, Ole Miss 5, Tennessee 6, Missouri, Miami, Oregon, Penn State round out the top 10. The big game really next weekend you got to look at is USC at Michigan. You have Illinois and Nebraska, and we got to show love to the Tennessee Volunteers, who have looked outstanding thus far this year, who are number 6 in the country. They go on the road to Norman to take on the undefeated Sooners. 7:30 p.m. Eastern kickoff for that one. I cannot wait for Tennessee, Oklahoma. You got to think Tennessee's are the favorite, just the way they've looked so far. They hammered Chattanooga, hammered NC State, 71-0 over Kent State last week. They got the Sooners on the road on Saturday. Cannot wait for that one. We're going to get into a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about what the hell is happening in Carolina, as well as who I like this week in the NFL. I am Tommy Lane for the Tommy John Show. Back after these quick words from our sponsors.
National Music Festival is back from September 25th to the 29th. You won't want to miss the best upcoming artists from at home and abroad. All across the Mile End, you can check out local CJLO favorites such as Amory, Dresser, Jane Penny, Knitting, Laughing, Night Lunch, Ribbon Skirt, Eve Jarvis, Pool Girl, and much more. Plus, you won't want to miss legendary international acts such as Beverly Glenn Copeland, Spirit of the Beehive, Manny Fresh, and the list goes on. There's something for everyone, so make sure to also check out Puss Pop, Film Pop, and Kids Pop as well. Check out the full lineup at popmontreal.com. Tickets are on sale now.
Are you sick and tired of trying to burn plastic straws on the beach in order to start a fire? Do you start crying whenever your father tries to talk to you about Martin Rosen's 1978 film Watership Down? Then come on down to Union Farm. We play music ranging from everything to ballet funk, to atmospheric black metal, to neoclassical dark wave, to industrial ambient, and even to chart-topping hits. And remember to leave your kids at home, they're really annoying. Union Farm. Every Thursday at 10 p.m. right here on CJLO 1690 AM in Montreal.
Back here on the Tommy John Show. Forgot to mention, over the weekend we had the big UFC card at the Sphere, and I mean, as cool as the production was, that card was not too exciting. It was a decision fest. I mean, I was rooting for Sean O'Malley in that fight. Just, he did not have a chance against Merab. He loses his 135-pound title. And we have Valentina Shevchenko winning back her a UFC title as well. I mean, just was decisions all over the place. That Canelo fight, though, that was pretty good. Canelo Alvarez defending his unified super middleweight titles, and we'll see what happens for Cinco de Mayo next year. I think people want Benavidez. We'll see. We won't see Canelo till May, though. He fights twice a year now. When you have the amount of money he does, he just says, listen, I'll fight on Cinco de Mayo, I'll fight on Mexican Independence Day, and yeah. Gonna go play my golf, and then I'll get into training camp around January, February. Let's get things going. So yeah, big weekend in the mixed martial arts world as well, because you heard Conor McGregor not gonna fight Michael Chandler. Michael Chandler fighting on the New York pay-per-view against Charles Oliveira. Should be a fun fight. That was a rematch. Oliveira won the first one. And then he announced John Jones, Stipe Miocic, and what is probably John Jones's last fight ever for the UFC heavyweight title. People are going to say he's dodging Aspinall. I mean, listen, I'm not going to say a bad thing about John Jones as a fighter. Person, you can go all day long. But as a fighter, you cannot say a bad thing about him. He's the best fighter of all time. I mean, yeah, I would want him to fight Aspinall just because I want to see it. But I don't blame him getting out early. I mean, he's like 35 years old. You would beat the greatest heavyweight of all time, Stipe Miocic, if you get it done right off into the sunset. You made plenty of money. Go enjoy life. So that was the big combat news over the weekend. But the big story, we weren't going to start with this. We really weren't. We were going to hint on Carolina later in the show on what the hell's going on there. But then head coach Dave Canales just went out and said, you know what? Listen, Bryce Young, in college you were great. You were great. You won a Heisman. Fantastic. Number one overall pick. We traded basically our whole franchise and everything we love to get you. But now we're going to go in a different direction for now. For now. We might call on you again, but, you know, we're going to go to Andy Dalton. If someone told me that 2 hours ago, I'd be like, well, no. They brought in Canales for Bryce Young. They're not going to abandon him after two games. Well, they abandoned him. He's kicked to the curb. Andy Dalton's in now. And I think Carolina... And I don't think this is a stretch. You can include any organization you want. I think this Carolina Panthers team, top to bottom, one of the worst football teams, worst professional teams I've ever seen in any sport. And I don't think it's that crazy to say. They cannot do anything. They cannot. They can't block. I mean, I think they're secondary. I like J.C. Horn. He made a few big plays. But, like, the Brown kid from Auburn, Derek Brown, he's out with injury. It's just not good. They are really bad. And to their credit, you know, people probably thought the Chargers would win by more. I know that's crazy to say. They won by over 20 points. But they were just running the ball, eating up clock. Justin Herbert wasn't playing his best. He played okay. I think it was just about, hey, don't turn the ball over and we're going to win easily. I mean, Bryce Young didn't even throw for 100 yards. He didn't throw for 100 yards. He did not throw for 100 yards. 100. In the National Football League. Malik Willis over the weekend threw for over 100 yards, I believe. Like, this is a thing we got to talk about. Now, the real problem with Carolina is not Bryce Young being small and getting hit every 2 seconds. Yes, that's part of it. The other main problem with Carolina is that owner. Good Lord. He has too much. It's like he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. He has too much control on the team, obviously, because he is the owner. And he's just killing them. Word on the street was, I think, that Frank Reich, was that it? Frank Reich liked C.J. Stroud better. But the organization's like, no, we want Bryce Young. We want the Alabama guy. He won the Heisman. We want him. Okay. Fair enough. You take Bryce Young. And now Bryce Young's being benched in his second year for Andy Dalton. That literally happened. And Dave Tepper, he's the guy who was like throwing his drink all over the press box. He's so out of it and has no idea what the hell's going on. He thinks he knows, but he doesn't. He's a maniac. He's a billionaire maniac, out of touch, thinks he's the best thing ever. And he is running that organization into the ground. Not like it was a great organization anyway. But they were in a Super Bowl 10 years ago. And they were competitive a few years ago. They are so bad, it's crazy. It's criminal. Them charging money for people to go there and watch them is criminal. They should be paying the fans to watch this. It's embarrassing. They're not good anywhere. I mean, Trouba Hubbard, he's Canadian, God bless him. I mean, he's okay. I feel bad for him because the O-line stinks and his quarterback stinks. There's no receiving core, nothing. I remember last year, they're like, oh, they're going to try and find a receiver. Carolina's going to try and find a receiver because they need a number one receiver. They had a number one receiver. His name was DJ Moore. They literally had one. And what they do, we're going to trade him. We're going to trade like two first-round picks, another pick, to go up to number one. And not take the quarterback who the coach wanted, but take the quarterback the GM wanted. Not the owner wanted. Not even the GM. I think that's the report. I could be wrong, but I'm 95% sure he said they liked Stroud. And there was a moment pre-draft process where C.J. Stroud was like the heavy favorite to go number one. And then from like February post-Super Bowl on, you know, they were like, no, it's going to be Bryce Young. It's going to be Bryce Young. Ended up being Bryce Young. And they gave up their whole franchise, their future, their best receiver, to take Bryce Young. Now, is it all Bryce Young's fault? Of course not. Of course not. But to say this kid isn't mentally broken right now, you'd be lying. He is shot. He has no idea what's going on. He's throwing in the double coverage, not a receiver in sight. It's awful. I mean, you go back and watch Bryce Young at Alabama, and this Bryce Young we're seeing now, it's like not even the same. It's like you wouldn't even believe me if I said they were the same player. There's no way that's Bryce Young. Yeah, it is. And who knows if C.J. Stroud would have done what he did in Houston, in Carolina. I don't know. Houston's a much better run organization. They hired D'Amico Ryans as one of the great young coaches in the league. They had players there, Nico Collins and Tank Dell. Had Tunzel at left tackle, had Stingley, and they've drafted Will Anderson on defense. So, I mean, it's hard to tell, But C.J. Stroud did throw for 500 yards in a game last year. And C.J. Stroud did lead a team who people thought was going nowhere to a division title. He did do that. That's like, he did. So I know we like to go on and on and on and say, oh, maybe not. Maybe it would have been different. Possibly. But we can confidently look back now and say, you made the wrong choice. We can say that. Now, you can argue if we would have been the same, but I still believe C.J. Stroud going to Carolina would have been much better than Bryce Young being in Carolina. I mean, he can't be much worse. Bryce Young, I think, has won one game in his career. One. That's it. One. And yesterday, it was so bad. Just so inept. That offense is so inept. And Canales, I think, is a good coach. You saw what he did with Baker Mayfield last year as an OC in Tampa Bay. He's a very smart offensive guy. And he's thinking to myself, I am not attaching myself to this version of Bryce Young. I'll take my chances with Andy Dalton, who at least has had some success. Could have been 100 years ago, but he's had some success in the NFL. He's led Bengals teams to the playoffs. He did okay quarterbacking the Cowboys a few years ago. I mean, he's not awful. It's not who he used to be, but I would like to think he's better than this version of Bryce Young. But I'm telling you, I mean, Canales and has to go up to the GM and the owner and say, guys, listen to me. I know what I'm doing. Would you rather me attempt to recreate who Bryce Young was at Alabama? Or do you want me to win games? And I can't believe I'm saying winning games in Carolina in the same sentence. But clearly he thinks Andy Dalton gives him the best chance to win. And if I were to tell you that 1 year ago, minus a week, before week one in 2023, if I said a year from now, Bryce Young would be benched for Andy freaking Dalton, you would have laughed so hard at what I said. I kept it PG. You would have lost it. Are you crazy? Bryce Young's the one picking the draft. At least getting 2 years. He's so batting. At least Zach Wilson got a second year to prove himself. You know, people have had chances. Mac Jones, he played good his rookie year. He played awful his second year, and he got a third year. I mean, young quarterbacks who are picked in the first round usually have a second chance. And they're probably, you know what, like, he was bad his first year, let's give him a chance. Two games in, they're like, we've seen enough, you stink. And we got to get out of here. We got to. We got to just switch it up, give him time off. Go on a vacation, Bryce, and come back rested. I've never seen a team give up so early in a season in my life. It's week two. Week two is still on. We still have the Monday night game tonight. We are in week two going into week three, and Carolina's already thrown in the towel. That's it. They technically threw it in week one. After that first half against New Orleans, they're like, we're done. We have no chance of winning. No chance. And they probably knew before the season, too. They looked at their roster like, nah, we got no chance. At least the Patriots are trying. They're playing their tails off for Gerard Mayo. Carolina could not give a rip. They do not care. It's really, really bad. Really, really bad. And David Tepper's the worst. I mean, Schneider's gone in Washington, so Tepper's the worst owner in the league. He's got a boatload of money. I don't know why he doesn't spend some of it. I know why, because no one wants to come to Carolina. It's where careers go to die. And people are saying, oh, Carolina's just going to suck next year. They're going to draft the quarterback first overall. Well, we'll see what happens. Let's say Shedeur Sanders is number one on their board. Do you think Deion's going to let Shedeur go to Carolina? Or let's say they don't get a quarterback this year. They trade back to get an insane haul to build the rest of their team because they know Arch Manning's in 2 years. I mean, the Mannings are no stranger to holding out a son for not wanting to go to an organization. I mean, Eli said, I ain't going to San Diego. No chance I'm going to San Diego. Arch Manning stepped in, said, no, you ain't going there. And Eli said, yep, not going there. Ends up going to the Giants. You know the rest of the story. Wins two Super Bowls. You think in 2 years, if Carolina has the first pick and Archie Manning is sitting there, they're not going to try and get him? Of course they are. Do you think the Mannings are going to let Archie go to this version of the Carolina Panthers? Are you crazy? Are you crazy? I mean, maybe he's a huge golf fan and wants to play at Kiowa every weekend. Okay, fair enough. Want to play at Pinehurst? That's the only way in hell he's going to Carolina. It ain't to win football games. Their plan might be, you know what, get the first pick this year, trade back, and let's get Archie Manning in 2 years. Or we have the first pick this year, we're going to pick Shedeur Sanders or Quinn Ewers or whatever other quarterback they like. At number one, we'll see, like, maybe the kid from Miami rises up. Who knows? Whoever the number one pick's going to be for Carolina is probably going to be a quarterback. And do you think any of them would be thrilled to go to Carolina? Yay, I love going to Carolina. They might love Dave Canales, and they might like some of their weapons and Xavier Leggett. But we would be lying. They would be lying to us as well to saying that people want to come here. No one wants to go to Arizona. They ruined a great prospect in Bryce Young. I know he's a bit small, but Kyler Murray's a bit small, and he's been decent in the NFL. Drew Brees was small. I mean, small quarterbacks have done. No, Russell Wilson, it's not good now, but he won a Super Bowl. Smaller quarterbacks. Smaller quarterbacks are not uncommon anymore. They aren't. But anyway, they took a great, great college player, amazing, and ruined him. Absolutely ruined him. So I don't know who in their right mind wants to go to Carolina, see the owner throw drinks in the press box, complain, snap, be arrogant and obnoxious. I don't think anyone wants to go to Carolina. If it's their last resort, sure. Send me to Carolina. Send me there. But if it's not their, if it's their choice, if they have any leverage, no one's going to Carolina. No one. No one. J.C. Horn's going to want out very quickly because I think he's a very good corner and he made plays yesterday. He's had some injuries throughout the years, but he seems to be a very good corner in this league. He wants out. He will request a trade sooner or later. I bet in 2 years' time he's not on the Panthers. I bet the Brown, Derek Brown, whatever his name is, he won't be on the Panthers soon enough. He'll find a way out. They just need to go scorched earth and hope they hit on a quarterback or trade back and get a bunch of players to build out this roster. I mean, you got to think about it. Like, this team is going nowhere. It's scary. This is one of the scariest situations I've ever seen for a team. And we can knock on the Bears for not surrounding Caleb Williams with an offensive line, but if you look at their roster compared to a few years ago, they used all this draft capital and everything to trade for Montez Sweat, extend him, get Caleb Williams, get DJ Moore, use one of those draft picks to get Keenan Allen, create cap space, move, and like, based off that one move, the Bears are a very competitive team and could be a wild card team, maybe a division winner in the NFC in the very, very short future. I mean, they could have, they hung with Houston. And if you look at that roster, the amount of pieces that comes from that one trade Carolina made is crazy. Their future franchise quarterback, Keenan Allen, Montez Sweat, like all these pieces all came from that Carolina trade. And that put Carolina back even further. They stunk to begin with. And that trade just killed them. Absolutely killed them. And now Andy Dalton, a year later, is their starting quarterback with the worst roster maybe I've ever seen. That's where we're at in Carolina. That's where we're at. 1 year removed, 18 months removed from that trade. It looks like Bryce Young is a backup quarterback in the NFL, if that. And you got Andy Dalton as your starting quarterback. That's where the Panthers are at. Scary. The other team on that field that day is going in a very different direction, and that's the Los Angeles Chargers. Now, the Chargers last year were a very talented team. 2 years ago were a playoff team, but they had this coach named Brandon Staley who would just make the most boneheaded decisions I've ever seen and cost his team I don't know how many games. Like, I don't know. I don't know how many. It's crazy. Brandon Staley just was such a dark cloud over this talented roster. And eventually the Chargers like, listen, we got to do something. Finally got him out. That Thursday night game at the Raiders when they got blown out, that was the final straw. That Easton Stick, I think, at quarterback. And they killed the Chargers. And they, from where they were on that field that Thursday night in December, getting their doors blown off by the Raiders under an interim head coach, to where they are now is unbelievable. And it's because of that man, Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh is 2-0 right now. And they are mauling people. Now, people say, Tommy, is against the Raiders and the worst team he just ranted about for 20 minutes in the Carolina Panthers. Well, we're finding out maybe the Raiders aren't that bad. They went on the road to Baltimore and beat them. And were the better team late in that game. So that win's going to age well. It really is. But you just look at their DNA. They are exactly who I thought they'd be when they hired Jim Harbaugh. Allow me to explain. What have Jim Harbaugh teams done for, I don't know, ever? Run the ball down your throat and we're going to punch you in the mouth. And we're going to do the same thing on defense. We're going to have a beefy defensive line and we're going to get to you. What does this Chargers team do? Run the ball down your throat and on defense, we're going to punch you in the mouth. That's it. Remember on the Tommy John Show Instagram, we did a mock draft before the draft, and everyone was saying, oh, they trade away Mike Williams and Keenan Allen, Austin. Everyone's gone. They need a wide receiver. They're going to take Malik Nabers at number 5. I'm like, no, they aren't. Jim Harbaugh's the coach. They're going to take Joe Alt from Notre Dame, the best tackle, best lineman in recent years, because they're going to play bully ball. And sure enough, I hate doing this. Got that one right. They picked Joe Alt. And Joe Alt has been an elite, like an all NFL, all pro tackle, really, for the first 2 weeks of the year. Has he given up a sack? He was landing against Max Crosby last week. He looks like a 10-year vet. I'm telling you, this is who the Chargers want to be under Jim Harbaugh, and that's what he's making them. And I'm not saying they're going to beat the Chiefs this year, like in the division. They might split like the season series, but they are going to be a pain in the neck for the next few years for the Chiefs. Because this team's only going to get better. They have an elite quarterback in Justin Herbert. At least we've seen him be elite. I mean, Quinn Johnson, everyone says he's a bust. Now he's catching 2 touchdowns a game. Ladd McConkey's going to be a great slot receiver. I mean, are they as skilled as some of the other teams? No. But all they want to do is run the ball down your throat, eat up clock, score, and play defense. And that's what Michigan did to a national championship last year. That's what he did at Stanford. That's what he did with the 49ers when he was last in the NFL. That is what Jim Harbaugh does. This is it. Beef up the O-line, roll the guards, and let's run the rock. People are giving up on J.K. Dobbins. He's been the best running back in football the first 2 weeks of the year. That's how good the running game for the Chargers has been. They still got Gus Edwards. They have other players around. But right now, the most improved team with an identity is the Chargers. And you saw it yesterday. They didn't even play to their standards yesterday, and they were just running over the Panthers. Last week, it was a tight game with the Raiders. In the second half, they took it to the Raiders. They out-physicaled them, they bullied them, and they made a statement. And I'm telling you now, Justin Herbert was throwing for 400 yards and losing. I think he prefers this 200-yard throwing, passing yards, and winning football games. He was tired of losing. And now they're using him on bootlegs. He's running more. He's a big body. I mean, trust me, the Chargers are going to be good under Jim Harbaugh. I'm not saying they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, not even guaranteeing postseason this year. But you can see the identity Harbaugh is trying to instill in them. We're bullies. And we're going to beat up on other teams with this crazy O-line, great D-line. And also the players who had Brandon Staley see a coach like Jim Harbaugh come in, and they're so excited. And you can tell. The Chargers are going to be a factor. No doubt. We're going to get into a quick break, and when we come back, we are going to discuss what the hell is going on in Tallahassee with the Florida State Seminoles and what's the future for Mike Norvell and that program, as well as who I like in the games next week and tonight, the Monday Nighter. I'm Tommy Lane for Tommy John Show, back after this quick word from our sponsors.
Are you into movies? Well, you're in luck. New student rates at your favorite independent cinemas are starting now. All films at Cinema Beaubien in Rosemont, Cinema du Parc in the Plateau, and Cinema Musée Downtown are $11 for students. Don't miss the best art house films from here and abroad. See you at the movies. Available now at the box office and online. Proof of student status required.
Check out Chop Spins and Remixes every Sunday from 12 to 1 with your host Noel on the Bones.
Pop the pain away, I slide the pain away. I pop the pain away, I slide the pain away.
I hope I'm not too late to set my demons straight. No, I made you wait, but how much can you take? I hope you see the God in me, I hope you can see. And if it's up, stay down from me, yeah.
Shammy, shammy, cocoa bar, Serafina, flame and ice. Where I be without you, love, that's your wings and trust, I feel you.
Me. Can I trust you? Don't judge me. I'm a diehard. It gets ugly. Too passionate.
Back here in the Tommy John Show. I mean, there's so many things to talk about. I mean, like in the summer, we're like talking about the same headlines. Oh, Aaron Rodgers, what are the Jets going to do? What's going to happen in college football? Is Georgia just going to run the table? How's the 12-team college format going to work? But I don't think anyone expected this storyline to be so huge, not even just in the college world, but like in mainstream sports media, is what the hell is happening to Florida State? Florida State, and we have, I mean, I talked about a few weeks ago after they lost to Georgia Tech, after they've lost to Boston College. I feel like every week we are talking about what's going on with Florida State football. Well, I have to pause and just like reflect on what the hell is that. It is a total disaster. A total dumpster fire. And maybe, just maybe, one of the worst, I don't know, 9 months a college football program could ever have, ever. Like I mentioned, we don't have to go through it. This is the same program. The exact same program 9 months ago who, when their star quarterback got hurt and they were winning ugly games against Louisville and not good competition in the ACC, wanted to get into the college football playoff. Rightfully, they didn't get in, and they would not stop complaining. They would go on and on and on and on about how they should be in the playoff, filing lawsuits against the committee. You have just what Ron DeSantis and Mark and everyone coming in and trying to speak up for Florida State. The same Florida State that a few weeks later wimped out of the Orange Bowl, pulled all the starters. Georgia didn't. Even Georgia players who wanted to go to the NFL. I mean, Ladd McConkey played in that game. Like, what are we doing here? What are we doing here, Florida State? Anyway, they get annihilated in that game. People said, oh, they didn't have the starters. And then the whole offseason, complain. They get DJ Uiagalelei, who's, we all know his story, supposed to be the next great quarterback. He was ranked, what, number one, number two, ahead of CJ Stroud. I know that, coming out of high school. And now, yeah, I mean, he's not going to, he certainly cannot go to the NFL, right? This is where we are right now. They go over to Ireland, play Georgia Tech, lose a close one. People are like, oh, it happens. You know, it happens. Then they lose to Boston College. People are like, it's over. Your season's over. And no one's paying attention to Florida State anymore. The only way we'll pay attention to you again is A, you win out. And people are like, oh, you start off slow, but you found your way. Or if you keep losing. And I think Florida State has chosen the let's keep losing way. Because, my God, are they awful. They let Memphis. I mean, a lot of you guys listening probably don't even know Memphis had a football program. They do. They let Memphis, the Memphis Tigers, come in and win on the road 20-12. And Memphis is not good. I watched. They are not a good football team. But Florida State somehow is even worse. And Mike Norvell, who everyone thought was one of the great college coaches after last year. Oh, what he did with that team. Now, he might be the first coach ever to go 13-0 and then not make it through the next year based on coaching. Not outside factors. Coaching. They are 0-3 right now, and their three easiest games were Georgia Tech, Memphis. I mean, I'm not. Boston College is very good. They're like a friend. They're like a top 23 team in the country, I believe. They played Missouri really tough. And they play like Georgia Southern or like one of those teams. But their two of their three easiest games of the year were the first two of the first three. And now you look at this schedule. They have Cal. And Cal beat Auburn. Cal beat San Diego State. Cal beat UC Davis. Cal is going to win that football game. Mark my words. Then they're at SMU, who, I mean, almost beat BYU. Then listen to this. This is where it gets really good. They got Clemson. They got Duke at number 8, Miami, North Carolina at Notre Dame, number 17, who will be higher than that if they keep winning. Charleston Southern, Florida. It was Charleston Southern, not Georgia Southern. Charleston Southern. Right now, I think they lose to Cal, they lose to SMU, they lose to Clemson. Duke, I have no idea. I know Duke's not who they used to be. They lost the coach to Texas A&M and lost Riley Leonard to Notre Dame. But that's a maybe. They'll lose. They'll get their doors blown off against Miami. They'll lose to North Carolina. They'll lose at Notre Dame. Florida, that's a game of which coach is going to get fired if Billy Napier makes it to that game for the Gators. So just right now, I'm looking at it. That's one other loss. That's two losses, 3, 4, 5, 6. I think they lose 6 more games. So they're working at 3-9 right now in my prediction. I think they'll beat Charleston Southern. Will they beat Florida? Florida's awful. I don't know. But the point being, Mike Norvell might be the first coach ever to go 13-0 and get fired the next year. That's how bad of a coaching job he's done. That's how bad Florida State has become. And that's who the Seminoles are. It is. It's so bad. I'm kind of happy. I'm happy because they complained so much. They talked so much, you know what, talking about how they're going to get into the college football player. And if they were there, they would have. How do you leave out an undefeated conference champion? We would have played these teams tougher. Baloney. If they were in that college football playoff last year, you know what would have happened. Would have played Michigan. They would have got their doors blown off. Blown off. At least Alabama took them to overtime. We had one of the great Rose Bowl games of all time. What the hell would have Florida State done with that quarterback? They would have lost 60 to nothing. Literally. Would have wasted all our time. And we would have had this question of Alabama probably winning, what, the Orange Bowl? Or the Sugar Bowl, whatever bowl game they would have been in. They probably would have destroyed their opponent and be like, oh, we should have put Alabama in. The committee did the right thing last year, and Florida State did not want to hear it. They didn't want to hear it. And this is the football god saying, you know what? Since you talked so much, you know what, and thought you were entitled to being in the postseason, and the biggest one of all, suing committee members for not voting for you. Okay, that's a final straw. We're going to make you miserable this year. And that's what the football gods have done. A Georgia Tech loss. Home against Boston College and Memphis loss. Where Florida State's supposed to have one of the great home field advantages of all time. Just a total joke. I'm done with Mike Norvell. DJ Uiagalelei stinks. The roster sucks. I mean, let's just go on and on about Florida State. And then Norvell says today, DJ Uiagalelei is giving us a chance. And he's pleased with the QB's preparation. This is who's the head coach of Florida State, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know what the hell has happened to him in the last year, but he has totally lost this program. He's lost this team. He's lost his damn mind. They can't beat Memphis at home. They can't beat Georgia Tech. They can't beat Boston College at home. Not on the road. At home. These games are at home. They're going to lose to Cal next week. Trust me. They'll lose at SMU. They'll lose against Clemson. They'll lose at Miami. They'll lose at Notre Dame. They'll lose to North Carolina. And I have to see Florida by November. But that game's a coin flip. And if you know how bad Florida is, that's an insult to Florida State. Such a joke. I'm done with Florida State. I don't care if they win out. I'm done with Florida State for a long time. They got to win a national championship for me to buy in the Florida State again. Because it's outrageous. And it's coming from a Notre Dame fan. At least Notre Dame go on the road and win some big games sometime. Sure, they'll lose to a MAC opponent at home. But they'll go out and beat A&M on the road. They'll go and beat Clemson. They'll win big games. Florida State hasn't beat anyone in a long time. Oh, you beat Brian Kelly and LSU. Whoop-de-doo. Miller Moss and USC just beat them. Ole Miss beat them last year. Everyone beats LSU. I don't want to hear it. Florida State are such a joke and are so overrated. It's crazy. And now the world is seeing it for themselves. What Florida State truly is. That quarterback, Jordan Travis, God, what a great college quarterback he was. He saved them. We saw how bad they were when he got hurt. And we're seeing with DJ Uiagalelei, who, my Lord, awful. You seeing how bad Florida State is. Awful. That's it. I better not mention Florida State again. But if they lose the Cal next week, I'll bring them up next Monday. I'll bring it up, how they lost the Cal. I'll bring it up. Quickly before we go, for this game tonight, I'm rooting for Atlanta. I have Atlanta in my pool of my buddies. AJ Brown out. It's a big miss. I think Atlanta's going to play better, but I just hope Kirk Cousins is more mobile, more in his game. Eagles do not have a good secondary. I pray Kirk Cousins plays well. I pray. I think they'll cover, but it'll be a good game. Next week, we got a whole bunch to talk about. We have week 3 in the NFL. We have more college football talk and the big one, who's going to make the playoffs in baseball. We'll have a better idea 1 week from now. If you ask me right now who I like for the Thursday nighter, I think the Patriots are going to play them tough. I need to see the line when it changes. Probably going to be 3.5, 4, but should be a good game Thursday between the Pats and the Jets. We'll get into that game and a whole bunch of other games next week on the Tommy John Show. And thank you all for listening. Remember, next week we're on at 1 p.m. We're making it to the prime time, man. 1 to 2 p.m. on CJLO 1690 a.m. I want to thank you so much for listening. And we will speak to you 1 p.m. next week. Thank you so much, everyone.